Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Sunday is not the day to relax, because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
Rugby league. We love it.
Shut up.
The footy's on Triple M.
Stand up and applaud.
Gotta love your rugby league.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's P-R-O-S-P-A. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome. Triple M rocks of the football for Prosper this afternoon. The Sunday Sin Bin. Passion takes you far in business, but funding takes you further. Visit prosper.com today. P-R-O-S-P-A, T's and C's, and the standard credit criteria apply. Hello, James Hooper. Hello, Aaron Woods. Hello, James Graham. Welcome. We're at a Core Stadium, and the Bulldogs taking on the Knights. But we've just had an incident before it. Can you today... Please, James Graham, you haven't got your little lapdog in Gordy here today. Just try and behave yourself.
I am. I just wondered why you had your chair set so low.
Anyway.
Before we started, you can barely see over the desk here at Acor Stadium. It's a strange way to try and start the show. It's worse than your flapping in Las Vegas. You are like a flapper at the worst time to flap.
Can you run me through that, Jimmy?
You don't need to worry about that. Know. You were on the sideline bench warming. Hello, Aaron Woods. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Great to have you filling in for Gordy.
Thanks,
and we've just got him on a week suspension, so it's good. He's just working out what he's got to do to improve in this show.
Don't tell lies. On radio, and typical, you bag him when he's not here.
We're very good friends.
Big fat
but,
cat.
You know, like we're just making sure he can work out what he's got to do to improve in this show. So we've got Woodsy in here on standby for the week. Good to have you here. Bulldogs taking on the Knights. Dan Gadane will be your caller. 2 o'clock kickoff. We're looking forward to that. Righto, boys. Let's get into it. Parramatta. We're going to start. And if you're a Parramatta fan, we do this when there's crisis in clubs. 133353. You can call up now. We will be taking your calls. But it was an ugly performance in Darwin. They were leading 8-4 at halftime. Then the Dolphins went on and put on a clinic. 44 points to 16, the final score in Darwin at TIO Stadium on Friday night. Brad Arthur, in his press conference, when had and asked whether or not how he felt about this and who was to blame, said this.
Probably what's wrong with our season is we're a part-time footy team at the moment. We pick and choose when we want to play, when we want to make a tough choice or a soft choice. We gave up, simple as that. There's only a handful of players in this club at the moment that pick to choose to come every week to play with the right mentality and toughness and want to be an 80-minute football and want to be an NRL player every week. Players have got to fix it. You can only talk about it so many times, Shay. Players have to fix it, don't they? They're the ones who got to come and play and enjoy playing the 80 minutes, the good parts of it and the bad parts of it and the hard parts of it. But we enjoy everything else around it, but we're not enjoying the 80 minutes.
Right, Brad Arthur, players have got to fix it. It's the first time I've heard that. Part-time footy team, he said, and Parramatta, they didn't make the eight last year. A lot of expectation on their roster. Yes, I'll accept James Hooper. There's no Mitchell Moses at the moment. But if you look at who the Dolphins had out, Kafusi, Flegler, Farnworth, Milford, Hammer, the list goes on. Tom Gilbert wasn't there as well. So every team has their injuries. How much pressure is Brad Arthur on as we speak today at Parramatta?
We said they gave up, Dobbo. For professional athletes, that's as heavy a backhand as you could possibly give them publicly. Look, I'm not going to rant and rave and call for Brad Arthur's head right here right now, Dobbo. I think he's a damn good coach. He's shown over the years. They went through the salary cap scandal 2016. He got him out of that. Then they got a wooden spoon not long after, and then he went and made a couple of astute purchases, Junior Borlo, Mitchell Moses, rebuilt the joint entirely, and then takes him to a grand final.
Sure.
But I think off the back of that, a lot of people said after that grand final, their window has closed because they made poor decisions in terms of recruitment and retention. They let a number of players leave and go to other clubs, and as a result of it, it's bitten them on the ass.
Right.
That's what's happened.
So
those words after a game, Brad Arthur's right, but to say those words publicly, that is huge from a coach. It's an all-in play.
That probably, I think partially, Jimmy, that answers Dobbo's question. of his how much pressure yeah, his Brad Arthur under right now. I think his press conference.
Do you reckon he's put himself under more pressure, Sam,
no,
Matt?
It's an all-in-play designed to get an immediate response. So the next three games, Manly, Broncos and Storm, they are three incredibly tough games to be playing after that, what they dished up in Darwin. And it's a huge play. To put your players on show like that
massive
publicly is absolutely massive. I've been part of dressing rooms where the coach has come in and served the players and then walked out of the room and sat in that press office and then in the press room and delivered a completely different message.
Deflected entirely.
And some people see through the deflection and people ask questions. Well, hang on a minute, you need to take ownership for this. It's on the players. What about the coaching staff? You know, we see coaches often refer to big refereeing decisions, overall patterns of play in the game that they're not liking, and you know, you divert the attention from what was a disgraceful performance onto them or onto other aspects of the game itself. But this is a huge play from Brad Arthur. Like I'm sure we'll talk about the game itself in a moment, but this is a massive play from a coach. What it says, I think he knows it's on the line for him. Like, let's not forget, Hoops, you spoke about all those things about the rebuild. Before the grand final, 6 weeks before, there was public talk around whether Brad Arthur was the man to continue the job. That grand final appearance almost saved his job in a way, bought him some time, bought that time, which was last year. I think now he knows that the people that make the decisions up above are saying, well, we need to be back in the mixer.
Well, there's a bloke called Wayne Bennett sitting back and doing his knitting at the moment, and he's going to have South Sydney 100% will be after him. And now if it continues to unravel for the Eels the way that it is, then I wouldn't be surprised if they also enter the
market. I know you speak, wait a minute, does that make South Sydney want to make the decision quicker now? Because you'd want to take it out of the hands of Parramatta. If you got your sights set on Wayne...
Well, that's what the Titans did with Dez.
You don't want to sit back and let Parra have a chance of getting Wayne.
Well, I get the feeling Wayne might sit back for a little bit, Dobbo. I don't think he's rushing into any
decisions. No, he's not at
decisions.
All.
Wayne's not desperate.
No, that's right.
He knows there's going to be jobs.
He's not being disrespectful to the blokes who are current head coaches at those clubs.
Wayne's not desperate. Hasler was desperate for a job.
Yep.
And he knew he, and that's the big difference.
Wayne will be licking his lips.
Can I honestly talk about the game in itself? And you talk about decisions of recruitment and where they've gone wrong, Hoops.
Mm.
But effort, you look at the Dolphins and you look at Parramatta, and Wayne Bennett has always coached teams that are big on effort. And we saw that with Max Plath coming in. Jeremy Marshall King, the work he did.
Keely.
Josh Kerr, who, you know...
He needs a rap because he was legless last year.
Absolutely.
I played with Josh at the start of the year. He was rattled before the ball got kicked off.
Look at him now. Man,
now he's... Mate, there's talk of him playing for Queensland.
Yeah, and look, it's a great story. And Wayne Bennett does those kind of things. So where have Parramatta gone wrong, Hoops? Where have they gone wrong, in your opinion? I understand that Brown, Moses, they've got superstars. Gutho, they've got them littered through there. But is losing their nine to Canterbury, was that one of them, you know?
Well, that's one of the poor decisions. Yeah. What's become abundantly clear with the Eels is... The absence of Mitchell Moses now is the equivalent of the absence of Tommy Turbo with Manly, or if you want to go back in the day, Joey when he wasn't playing for Newcastle and when he was playing. That's how critical Mitchell Moses is. No, it is, Jimmy. There in the last month for us all to see.
But Mitchell Moses not playing doesn't mean that my forwards go, it's a bit hot, I'm going to just not move from marker. I'm going to literally let Jeremy... I'm going to present to Marshall King a tired body, like look like I'm not going to go, and just look to my left and watch him run around me. Like Mitchell Moses, you know, you can look at the effect of a kicking game or the captain. Mitchell Moses doesn't make you do that. doesn't make you... Well, sorry, Mitchell Moses not being there doesn't make you not move from Market. That's a game, Hoops, they should have won.
Absolutely.
That the excuse of Moses not being there for that performance, it doesn't exist. If that's a tight game, that they're missing that game manager, you can look to that and go, ah, Moses. But look at the injury list of Dolphins. I know I'd rather be in Brad Arthur's position than Wayne Bennett's position when it comes to managing the injury toll of a season.
You know the other thing about it? They're up 10-4. It wasn't like they had, like, they had a reason. Yeah. Had a reason.
They took a goal in the second half. They scored the first points in the second half, 10-4.
Their two tries were soft tries.
Yes.
Like really soft tries that they scored. And I wonder if that's the issue where, and teams do fall into this trap, the attitude of teams. And look, it's so hard to maintain that level of attitude and not fall into the trap of, oh, we're in for an easy game here. It's hot as anything up in Darwin. The humidity was through the roof. We scored a couple of easy tries against this depleted Dolphins team. Sean Lane falls over and we're going, we're on here. Penasini just goes, see you later, Tessie New. Yeah. And you might just go, hey, I'm just going to slip back. And then bang, before you know it, halftime happens. The Dolphins, they have an attitude adjustment. Gutherson takes the two and then, couple of moments later, they're behind the sticks, and then they can't. It's easy to switch off, but very difficult to switch back on.
That's a fair point. And I think they probably did put the dinner suits on. Once they got to a comfortable, easy lead, they thought, okay, we can just go through the motions here. It's hot. But just going back to Mitch, Jimmy, right? The point with Mitch is he is so influential in everything that they do on the field, right? His hands are on the ball more than any other player.
He doesn't make him run hard or take
No, he doesn't, right? I'm not suggesting that because he wasn't there, the Forbes decided they didn't want to have a crack, right? But I'm just saying it's now, if you look at their record, when he plays and when he doesn't play, and if you look at the amount of money that they've got invested and all the players who had to leave in terms of retention and recruitment, right? The amount of money that they have invested in Mitch when he's not there, it then has this massive flow-on effect. And I also would raise the question, in relation to BA, right? He's been there so long. He's had a lot of success there. He's a damn good coach. But given the length of time he's been there, is his voice now starting to wear thin?
Well, but again, if this was an isolated incident, you might look and go, oh, well, we'll look for excuses, the weather, whatever. They were down in Canberra two weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, they got 40 points put on them against the Raiders team.
Yep.
Like, come on. So, they bounced back against the Cowboys. Unconvincing. Like, I think, you know, the Cowboys are a little bit hit and miss. Yeah. There's something not right at Parramatta Eels. And with the squad that they've got, we speak about Souths in the same capacity.
Yep. Yeah.
And obviously, Souths are a huge club. But with Parramatta's squad on paper,
it's a fair comment.
Like, they should be doing better.
They're not playing anywhere near their potential.
Jade from Bankstown's called in. 1-333-53. Parramatta fans, you can call in. Jade, go ahead, mate. What's your thoughts on Parramatta?
Oh, look, I mean, I think he's had long enough, almost 10 years. I think he's probably the longest-serving coach in the NRL era not to actually win a premiership and stay at the same club. So it's purely his roster. He's definitely had the opportunity to build that roster. And I think it was mentioned earlier, maybe by Dobbo, about the fact that sometimes I think the same voice maybe loses the traction that it might have had at the beginning. I think he's done a wonderful job to get them to the finals on multiple occasions, but I don't think he's the guy that's going to take them over that line. And we've seen coaches in previous years from other clubs. A great example is probably Neil Henry at North Queensland. He did an amazing job with a great roster, but never got them that grand final. And then the late Paul Green, he was the guy that took them over that line. And I feel like somebody, maybe whether it be Wayne Bennett or another coach, is going to be the one that takes them over the line. But I think Brad Arthur's pretty much done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more in the sense of sometimes with the coaching, with that Cowboys roster didn't change when Neil Henry got sacked. And it was Paul Green that just instilled a different voice and a different mindset, and they go on and do that. And we saw Wayne Bennett do that with St. George when he took over at St. George. And in a lot of ways...
It's a strange one, though, because any time Parramatta have been under the pump, the players respond for the coach and they always go into bat for him. And I know that's an easy answer to give, but you see it sometimes when BA's been under pressure in the past. The players have gone and stood up for him, but I just don't understand why they don't. That they need that public, they need the public, criticism of their coach that they all seem to love. You know, they bring in Lomax over. He gets Lomax over for dinner, and he brings Gutho over as well. Like, there's clear a strong relationship.
But every club does that because the captain's one of the main people. Of course,
yeah. But
you know something about Parramatta. their flag and their reserve grade are coming last. Like, the junior systems, when I was coming through the lower grades and then watching it as a young bloke, Parramatta used to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, something that they've lacked in the last few seasons, or, you know, probably the last 3 or 4 years, the juniors that have come through, they're losing a lot now. You know, they bring place to Tuolungi. He's probably, you know, Tuolungi, he's probably one of, if a few, that have come through the system as of late. And I just think that they've sort of just focused on first grade.
Yeah.
You know, they're a club that has a huge nursery, whereas you can bring so many of those good young kids through. They lose that Murata Niokore over to the Warriors. He was in their junior system for a long period of time. And like I said, I think they've just made some poor choices. Like, Dylan Brown's on a 10-year contract with, you know...
It's an asterisk.
It's asterisk.
You can get out every 2 or 3 years.
Is that... There's been a lot of jostling at board level, and, you know, there's been rival tickets in the past at Parramatta, and it hasn't been that stable. But is there something going on with their recruitment and retention and the way they go about trying to keep their juniors?
It's nothing to do with that. They're not willing to do the little things on the football field.
You're talking about on the field.
Yeah, on the field. But watch their game, right? They're happy to offload. They're happy to play when they've got momentum. But that's not what the game's about. And Brad Arthur said that in his press conference. They're not willing to work hard. They want to do the nice things, the simplistic things, the highlight reel things. Yeah. They're not willing to do the little things that contribute to a performance. That's what the issue is.
Paul from Cabramatta, you're a Parramatta fan. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, no, mate, not a fan of you, Dobbo, but anyway, Jammer Woodsy, I'm an ex-cart roll too, boys. Mate, I just want to make a comment. Parramatta made a grand final in 2022. Joey Johns was the assistant coach, and then Trent Barrett come there, mate. So he brought a winning culture to Parramatta, and they've done nothing, mate, since he's come there. You know, like, take a bit of pressure off Brad Arthur, mate, you know.
Yeah, so I know you're not a fan, but who do you want to see coach Parramatta?
Well, Brad Arthur got him there in 2022, but he had Joey Johns as an assistant then.
I'll stop you there.
I
think Joey was doing some work with the halves, but I don't know. I don't think he was the assistant coach. I'm just trying to rack my brain about it. And you're right, Trent Barrett has since come into the club, and he's been with him for 18 months now. But look, I think in relation to Brad Arthur, like Jade and Paul, I appreciate your view on Dobbo as well, mate. It's a very honest appraisal. nice to get some feedback from the listeners. But Jade, the previous caller, the points that he made, like, Brad Arthur has been the longest serving coach at Parramatta. He's coached more than Brian Smith. He's coached more than Jack Gibson, John Maney. You go back through all the brilliant coaches that the Eels have had over the years. And he has had complete control over the roster in terms of who he wants to bring in, what players they need to offload, how they need to try and set the club up to then do all those little things that you talk about, Jimmy, in terms of results on the field. And that's where this is now going to become a conversation over the course of the coming month, because they've got a tough draw. Manly at Brookvale.
Yep.
It doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, well, look, I can just tell you, we're going to block Paul because he wanted to say, so he's getting a block next to
us. Was he blocked, Dave?
Because,
block
okay,
him?
Okay, one, he was insulting the host, and I don't like that.
Mate, that's right.
Two,
that's honest feedback.
He needs to get some stats, because Joey wasn't the halves coach when they took him to the grand final. So if you're going to come on this show like you do and spruik without knowing facts, you get blocked. Listen, we're taking
Paul
a break.
Paul and Pepe. Paul and Pepe.
Shut up. The board is on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. All thanks to Prosper. Catch, tackle, pass, kick, run footy. It's pretty simple when you think about it. It's something everyone can do. Running a small business, though, is not so simple. With Prosper, it can be. They are Australia's number one online lender to small business. They help small business owners with funding solutions of up to 500K for cash flow management, equipment purchases, and growth opportunities. And their online application, well, it's easier than backing a winning team. Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and the standard credit criteria apply. Sunday Sin Bin live from Accor Stadium ahead of the Knights taking on the Bulldogs. James Graham, Aaron Woods, James Hooper with you. We will touch on Parramatta again at 1 o'clock. Interesting note that Jack Cogger is playing in the early game, and in that game it's the Canterbury 36, the Knights 6. So that would mean that Tyson Gamble looks like he'll be elevated to the starting side for kickoff, but he is in there. Let's talk about last night. Brisbane defeated the Raiders 34 points to 10. And all the talk this morning is about Reece Magic. Reece Walsh, the fullback for the Brisbane Broncos. He put on a clinic in the wet last night, James Hooper, and it was all over at halftime. 28-0 at halftime, and it could have been anything. I mean, Canberra did fight and put up a fight in the second half, but oh, they put on a clinic in the first half, Brisbane, and really made a statement, in my opinion, that without all their top one players, four of them out at the moment through to injury, no Reynolds, no Huss, no Piakura, no Mariner, that they still can get the job done and the depth is there.
Awesome performance in driving rain. It was coming in torrential. It was coming in sideways. And you just got the feeling as though looking at the surface, it was slippery underfoot, right? So I thought, okay, they're going to have to. Brisbane love to play expansive. They love to play with a lot of width and get all that electric back line firing. I thought, okay, they're going to have to really just tuck it up and try and shift the game plan a little bit, play a lot tighter. But they didn't at all. They just stuck to exactly what's worked to the in terms of them being so successful last year and then at the beginning of this season. And that first try that Reece Walsh scored, right, the individual brilliance, you're spot on, Woodsy. He was Reece Lightning. Like to get past four Raiders players on a slippery surface, changing direction multiple times at brilliant speed, it was something to watch.
Yeah, I also got, you know, we always give a rap to Pat Carrigan. He ran 200-plus metres. But an unsung hero on that side, Corey Jensen.
Yeah.
His leg speed over, you know, the first 10 metres and you never see him get put on his back. And like you said, Jimmy, that's what they did. They went hard. They played direct. And then they did a little block shape at the back with Jock Madden, finds Reece Lightning. And they just kept doing it. And then I know we spoke about Chevy Stewart, a couple of drops. But the kicking game of Jock Madden, it's like he's a little clone of Adam Reynolds.
Well, that's what he's doing. Reynolds has said, and I speak to Reynolds about him because he believes that Jock is the next seven for Brisbane. He hands down categorically says it. And when he got there, he said he feels that it's his responsibility over the next 2 years to make sure that when Jock Madden gets the keys to the city and in charge of the Ferrari, that he's right to go. And he showed signs last night that this education with his kicks, the shape that he set for the side, that he's just growing week on week.
Yeah, he is, Dobbo. And Woodsy mentioned Pat Carrigan and the contribution. He had 16 passes last night. Wow. So in the wet conditions, having a player through the middle that can run the ball and get the ball to the halves out the back, I think that really helps Jock Madden's transition from, you know, the backup from Reynolds, as opposed to where Reynolds might be on ball a little bit more. That really helps a player. Pat Carrigan's ability to dish the ball to a Madden or a Mam out the back, give them some space, it is really telling. And Pat Carrigan's game is absolutely sensational. He was great when he had Flegler and Haas alongside him, but I think we're really seeing like true leadership with what he's bringing at the moment.
It was huge last night.
You know what I love about Broncos? Their kick chase. Jordan, yeah, he leads that kick chase every time, and Ezra Mam, they're landing on blokes as they catch the ball. And Ezra Mam's a little man in stature, but geez, he can pull some powerful hits off.
Woodsy, you're playing still at the moment, and we watched from afar, and we talked about the loss of Flegler and Palacia out of this side, middle forwards. But they've gone and found Xavier Willison, who every
the
week
monster.
Is growing like that. And then they've still got in the garage just starting to work on the engine. Ben Takura, who's had one taste of NRL, who's still going to come. So they've got some depth there. No Haas still at the moment. You've seen what Jensen's doing. Fletcher Baker, they've said, when we got him, it's a work in progress. And the improvement, the chase last night,
he set up.
Yeah, that was his best game. He is improving every week. Now, we've seen he's going to have some rocks and diamonds, but you can see he's starting to fit into this Broncos style of football, play to their game plan. They hold him accountable. Carrigan said that post-match that, you know, they hold those middle forwards accountable for their actions. And I think we've been a little critical of their starts this year, Brisbane, but they are starting to show that although it's only early, and I understand they're 4-3, they're a heavyweight.
Well, the most impressive thing is the caliber of player that they're missing at the moment. So you've just gone through them. No Payne Haas, no Dean Mariner, no Brendan Piacura.
Yeah, no Reynolds.
And no General, right, yep. in the little number seven who's a champion. For them to be able to go out, there was a moment in that game last night, early doors, where Hudson Young looked to have scored for all money, and it would have, in all likelihood, put Canberra out to a 6-0 lead. And instead, you know, Hudson, in those conditions, you can understand, he only just had a little dropsy as he was trying to ground the ball. And then off the back of that, Brisbane marched downfield, and then all of a sudden, bang, 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 before you knew it, it was 18-0. But just on that try, I just want to go back to that try again from Walsh Woodsy. Like, I've seen some individual brilliance over the years in games, but that moment is right up there with some of the best things that we've seen over the last 20 years. What, the way he just lit the turf up.
You know what I love about it? There's no fear. Like, he just, like, as a big man, when you're at A, which is the first defender off the ruck, like, when you see him there, it just gives you nightmares. It's like, I can't be too wide, and I also can't be too tight, because it creates your spaces with your next man. It does hurt, and then what it does, it brings them in if you're too tight, and it just, Walsh can sort of skip straight away and get straight outside, which is your C defender, which is your third man, and he just creates overlap straight away. Like, he is just one of those, he's an out-and-out superstar, and, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about him and Ponga. It's a face-off for Origin, but in the fair dinkums.
But it's a no contest.
It's not.
I don't even know why we're talking about the fullback jersey. It's his sewn up.
Yeah.
Well, look, Reece Walsh, the try he scored last night to be able to move at such pace, you know, take in the effect of Timoko coming in to try and defend him, the ball movement, and then the one-on-one change of direction. That was as good as try as you'll see. I think, you know, last week when he first came back after that facial fracture, it was like, oh, he looks
timid a little bit.
Not timid, he just didn't have that usual
timing,
magic touch. Because when I've fallen into fan mode and spectator mode of, like, I want to see Reece Walsh do what he did in that first try last night every game, every time he touches the ball, because that's what fans do. So I lost a little bit of track last week and was like, oh, maybe he's not going to come back from this facial injury. But obviously last night, I think he's nailed on for that Queensland number one jersey. Just on the Broncos, go back to that game against Penrith. There was no Haas, there was no Reynolds. They lost Reece Walsh. I came away from that, I was disappointed. But I think what we're seeing, if Brisbane have everybody on deck, they continue this form, you know, Willison, Tiakora, bringing those players through. There's some other players that are showing improvement since that game against Penrith. I think they're back on that trajectory now for a strong fit, like mid and finish to the season. And I think they'll be top four. They are a genuine contender.
Yeah, I don't think anybody disagrees with you, Gemma. Last night we saw Canberra, who have surprised a lot of people, but it was the number one, the 18-year-old, in his second game, Chevy Stewart, who had some really unhappy moments, but also some brave moments. Ricky Stewart was asked about him in the press conference. Here's what he had to say about his effort last night.
If Chevy Stewart wasn't a tough kid, he would have crumbled tonight. At 18 years of age, you'll remember that. You know, I know at 18 years of age, I wasn't ready to play NRL. How he handled that second half was he showed me that he's got a future in the NRL. I don't care about the drop bomb, because there'll be more of that. But I've just got to be patient. Our senior players will be patient with it, because we're transitioning into a completely new team with youth in very, very important positions on the field.
I saw him last night. He missed the tackle. He dropped the ball. He got tackled with one. And then Billy Walters, he was out of position, identified it. He was unhappy. Then he gets the ball and he takes the ball back into the line and gets absolutely snotted by Kobe Hetherington. Now, I would say in that moment, he never gave the ball over to someone else to play and stayed down. At 18, he gets up and he plays the ball. And in that moment, you go, okay, you've got a tough kid here. You've got a kid that's going to be around for a while.
I've seen seasoned first graders go hiding after a couple of mistakes. You know, I could argue I was guilty of it myself. Like, I don't want to be involved. I just want to play safe. Or pass on the responsibility to somebody else. But for him to, knowing what he's been going through in this game, to not get
distracted by that and or not go missing. That carry back just straight into the teeth of Ricky and Hetherington.
Oh, he like, hit him, didn't he? Wow.
There's plenty of other fullbacks in the game who would have stayed down if they got whacked as hard as he did there. But to get straight back up to his feet, it shows he has got a cast iron constitution. I think he's got a huge future in the game. And early doors, it was a fascinating subplot in that game in that the back page of the paper yesterday was all about how the Raiders had hatched this plan to bomb the hell out of Reece Walsh with an aerial raid and try and mince him, right? Yet then, I don't know if they've read that and gone, oh, hang on, what's going on here? All right, let's reverse engineer this. Or it was always part of the game plan anyway. But in those conditions, some of the kicks that Madden and Mann were sending up and Walsh were sending up for him, it was so difficult. The wind was swirling up around the perimeter of the stadium. It's pouring rain, which is coming in sideways. And I don't think even the best fullbacks the game's ever seen would have been safe under those bombs.
Ricky Stewart will be pleased with what he's got, right, in Chevy Stewart, because you know what? You can practice your positioning skills. You can gain experience and he can spend time on his game and look and go, mate, if you're in this position or if it's last play, you should be here. You know, you've got to be on ball. We can practice the bombs. We can look at technique. You know what, you can't. It's very difficult to have that conversation of like, man, I need you to be a bit tougher. And we've seen players that have had that conversation and they, yeah, I know, coach, but you can't practice what he did last night. You can't. That's something that I don't know if that's a skill you can acquire to just go bang, carry that ball straight hard into the line. There are certain things you have the ability to work on and improve. I don't know if you can quite teach or improve that or coach that into somebody. Yeah, you know, you respond to your coach and your effort levels, but that's something that Ricky Stewart, he doesn't have to worry about that. He's got a tough kid there.
You know what I love about it? Like, listen to what Ricky Stewart said in that presser. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think we're going to speak about the Knights later on and their combinations in their halves. They don't know who's coming, who's going, because they're swapping and changing. Ricky said, this is our man. You know, he's 18 years of age. He's going to come up with some errors. It's just how he responds to it. And he responded to the first-class effort last night. But he knows he's there for the long term. So great from Ricky Stewart to hang in there. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. It's a rollercoaster journey, rugby league. But to show the faith in him, I think some other coaches need to do the same with their players.
Yeah, well, Ricky's doing that, and he's putting some senior players around some of these young blokes. And it bodes well for the Canberra Raiders. We're going to take a break. We're going to unpack the bunker. It's up next. This is the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back, Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. All thanks to Prosper. Passion takes you far in business, but funding takes you even further. Visit prosper.com. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply. James Graham, Aaron Woods, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. Of course, Stadium is the venue for the Bulldogs taking on the Knights. We're calling that game. Dan Gaudet will be your caller. Brent Reed on the sideline. Not far away. We will unpack after 1 o'clock Parramatta again. We'll talk about that. We're also going to look at how Manly had their victory up on the glitter strip last night. Aaron Woods is back. He's a little dusty. That's what happens when the Gold Coast gets the better of you. But we'll get to that. Can we unpack the bunker, please?
Straight under the bus.
Already.
You couldn't help yourself, could you?
I told you that. If you're going to talk. I thought that was off air, chat.
Hey, sorry, I'm trying to finish
this cheeseburger. If you're going to talk, can you stop eating? That would be a starting point. That's normally rule number one in radio.
It'd be nice if Dobbo shared the chips too.
What? Oh, no, mate, Jesus.
Just have the chips.
You've eaten the bucket.
Can we get
you've
Paul,
eaten the bottom out of it.
Can we get Paul the Parramatta fan to call back in? I want to hear more.
Paul from Cabramatta will never call Triple M again.
Just a shout out
that
to Paul.
Right,
that was an outstanding appraisal.
We've had him blocked, and his number is never to be ever received here again. The Tigers yesterday in Bathurst, Justin Olam ankle tap, penalty against, should have been a sin bin. We know that they were setting up for another try. Changes the dynamics of the game against Penrith. This is what Benji Marshall said post-match.
I've been pretty quiet about the refereeing, but yeah, I just feel like we're not getting the rubber of the green. Like, that trip to me is what I would say is a professional foul in the act of try-scoring opportunity. We're Justin Olam supporting to try and score a try, and he gets tripped up. How that's not a professional foul in a sin bin, I'll ask for clarification, but yeah, that hurt us too. Yeah, so it just feels like sometimes we're not getting the rub of the green. It's been a few weeks in a row now, and yeah, we'll get some answers on that.
Yeah, well, he's joined the coaching ranks where he's finally.
He was calm about it.
It was
right, Dobbo. Like
100%.
That is a joke. Because that could have changed the whole momentum in the game. Like, they could have been attacking against a 12-man Panthers side. They captains challenged that because they can clearly see that he trips him, which is a professional foul. It would have led to a try for Justin Ollam. But yet, they stay on the field. I think it was Schneider.
Yep.
You know, he's involved in a try only a few minutes later for Penrith. How does the Tigers get the benefit out of that? It is a professional foul. How does the bunker miss it? We've got 1,000 camera angles to look at these things. And then you've got...
They didn't miss it. They made a judgment call.
Yeah, and they got it wrong. Yeah. But everyone you speak to, it's a professional foul.
I've not even got an issue with, if there's no challenge, the bunker interfering.
That's a shocker.
Like, you know, the bunker interfering and going, there's been a professional foul here, sir.
You need to stop the game and get him off.
And Simbiner. How do you not even miss it? How do you come to that conclusion? So it's not being missed by the bunker. They've concluded it's not a sin-binable offence, like where it is. And what? Everybody would agree. I think sometimes you've got to go, okay, what would Ivan Cleary complain about a sin-binning in that situation? Would anybody at Pembroke?
No.
There you go. There's your answer.
Okay. So this is where the issues are happening. Now, Chevy Stewart in week one, in his first game, has clearly been deemed offside. That would have gifted the Titans a victory last Sunday.
Yep.
Let's go now to Thursday night. Nelson Asolomona, the driver. By the letter of the law...
It's changed this year.
It's changed. Here's what Trent Robinson had to say.
The rules are really clear. It's really simple. He runs in from a distance, lends weight, touches his player and Jenko, and then goes over and scores. Did he lend weight to the play? Yes, he did. Like, it's not that hard. It was really clear. And then same at the end. We just had 7 or 8 minutes from Graham Annesley on disruptors and kick contests. Connor Watson was looking at the ball, standing in the position. Remus can go for the ball. That's fine. But he goes over the back of him, stops going for the ball, and pushes Manu in the back. If you're not going for the ball, you can't contact our player without going for the contest. That's a disruptor. Like, it's really simple, the rules. Both of them were really clear.
I don't know if the second one was really clear, but I think the first one's clear.
You cop that because they've changed that rule this year.
Yep.
You're not allowed to touch it. And if they do it, it should be held straight away.
Yeah. Well, should have been no try.
Yeah, no try. But the second one, you look at Remus Smith, he's only got eyes for the ball. And then if you're we could say that he's being an escort, a blocker, which should be a penalty to the Melbourne Storm. Because he changes his line to get in the way of Remus Smith trying to attempt to catch the ball.
But
you know what? You know the other thing? It seems that there's a lot of whinging about these calls after the games, Hoops.
The bunker's deciding it, though. Yeah. That's the drama.
It's not a referee on their own. They've actually got rules and regulations and laws of the game that they get the time to have a considered thought from multiple camera angles. Look, we are a game of discretion. It's points and black and white. And I think on the Nelson Asolomona one, Trent Robinson, Sean Blaw, he shouldn't have scored that try. There was 3 Roosters players there, held him completely upright. And yes, Solomon has come in and then he's backed off. And then Blaw spins and finds a way to the ground.
Blore or Katoa?
Katoa. Yeah, Katoa. Like, spins and finds a way to the ground. It's like... Trent Robinson would be having a word with his players as well.
I'd be more upset. If I was Trent Robinson, I'd be more upset about his club's defence, goal line defence in that particular scenario than the love tap that Nelson Asolomona added to the equation. And I think there's an element of, you can see Robbo's becoming increasingly frustrated. The Roosters haven't performed this season. They've obviously got a star-studded roster. And it just feels as though they are starting to get a little bit frustrated, Woodsy, and the criticism of the refs. Look, a lot of it is very valid, but it does feel as though you can see when coaches are under pressure when they start trying to deflect from a side's performance or lack of.
It's 3-6.
The best team won on Thursday.
Yes.
The best
correct.
Team won.
Totally.
What, does he say anything about Lindsay Collins knocking the ball off that short restart when they got the ball back? No, because it's in his favour. They had three bad calls.
It went both ways.
That's exactly right.
It went
right.
Both ways, yeah.
But when these coaches come under the pump, they tend to talk about it more often in the after-match press conference, which is what's happening with the Roosters at the moment.
So do you think Robbo is under the pump?
Well, you look at his body language at the moment in the, you know, I think we'll speak about later on in the show with the Roosters, but you look at the way he's handling himself in, you know, in the coach's box. I've never seen him this emotional before in the box. Have you seen him up and down, throwing things?
We've seen him bang the finger. He's normally got the finger on the chin.
He's normally cool, calm.
Yeah, he's normally playing poker. Yeah, he's normally playing poker. We have seen him. I remember.
Not like you on the poker table in Vegas.
No, hey, we were winning.
You were never winning anything. You never won a thing.
Oh, please.
We're going to take a break.
You big deep, bro. Shut your trap.
I was out partying.
You're under the doona. In the fetal.
We're going to take a break. Sunday Simbin on Triple M.
Shut up! The Foot is on Triple M!
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. All thanks to Prosper. 40 points to 6 in the New South Wales Cup game. Bulldogs leading the Knights. If you're just joining us, Jack Cogger playing for Newcastle this one, which would mean that Tyson Gamble will be in the Newcastle side. Those teams are set to come out very shortly. Kickoff 2 p.m. Dan Gadane will be your caller. The Bulldogs taking on the Knights from Accor Stadium. Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. It is now time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Yeah, just like their boots, Ariat Rebar Work Jeans won't let you down on the tough jobs. Check out the range of Rebar Work Jeans at ariat.com.au. James Graham, away you go.
Yeah, my I Call BS this week. Look, I know we are predominantly a football show, but I know our listeners like to be kept updated on our social gatherings. So my I Call BS is on people that think their food is too good for them. And when we go out together, so my BS is on you, Ben Dobbins.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, because this is really relatable to our listening audience. Go ahead.
Well,
you know what he's talking about.
Well, let me explain.
I do, yeah. Let him set the scene.
Yeah, so we go out for a few team drinks last week. A few people left early. Don't know what they wanted to leave early for. All the fun was with us, but hey, I don't know. We order some food. Who's ordered the pate? I don't like pate.
I don't know.
Who's ordered? Well,
sorry.
I ordered it, Ben, because we're going to just share some starters.
We didn't.
Because you didn't like it, we're not allowed to order. That's not how going out with friends works.
Whoa.
Maybe you need some
share.
Rain.
You never communicated. I don't know anybody who likes fish pate. And I'm sorry, it was garbage.
Chicken liver.
Chicken liver pate. Yuck.
I'll stop you there. You should have just tried it. You might have liked it.
No, I won't eat that.
And also,
I won't eat that stuff.
To your point, Jimmy did consult, right?
Well, he
said, boys, will I just order some starters, right?
I never heard that.
Yeah, because you were off doing whatever you were doing.
No, I was
you
not sitting at the table.
Well, mate, you must have been having a highly important conversation with someone else because you didn't hear.
Either way, I make no apologies for not liking chicken liver pate.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Would you eat it?
No, we don't need you to like it. We don't need you to like it. It's just we were going to share it. It's not all about you. It's not the Ben Dobbin dinner. We know what happened at the Ben Dobbin dinner. You got drunken chicken that no one ate.
So see
how the difference is. If you order, you take responsibility for your order and cater for all tastes. You can't be chipping it. We complained about the drunken chicken because nobody ate it.
Yeah. No one ate the liver either.
We did eat the pate.
No, we did.
You try it.
Yeah. It's all right.
You're better than that.
No, mate, it was
you're
all right. That. What are you... But shut up.
You are
and
better
you
than
think
that,
you're
mate.
Too good for pate?
No, I've never had it. I've never been able to afford that kind of luxury. This is an out of touch. An absolute out of touch. Mate,
You had that for breakfast.
I'm a calamari man, mate.
We had calamari.
Yeah,
I was a heap of calamari.
Calamari is more expensive than...
No, it wasn't.
But it is.
Mate, anyway, I'm not talking to
you. I'll help you out here, Dobbo, right? I've got an I Call BS as well. And it's from the same team dinner, right? So I'll set the scene. We all went down to Coogee. Chickawhite, the producer's idea. Boys, we'll get together. We'll go down to the Coogee pub. Yeah. We'll have a few beers. I'll book a table. Anyway, Brent Reed, great friend of the show. He'll be on the sideline today with number one caller Dan Gannone in the box. Reedy shows up, right? And lately, Reedy has been dubbed Mr. Peabody, right?
And certain people have been doubling down.
A lot of people have been doubling down, a lot of people. And even the people who came up with the concept itself, I think, might have to have a look in the mirror because I think they wear glasses too. But so Mr. Peabody shows up, right? And I said,
very good company.
Without it, he is. He's a great fella, right? And that's why I'm going to defend him here. I'm calling for a ceasefire on Reedy being referred to as Mr. Peabody, right?
Why?
Because at that dinner, that team dinner, I said, Reedy, can I borrow your glasses for a second just to put them on and have a look? Anyway, he was a bit reluctant initially, and then he handed him over after a beer or two. And, mate, the bloke, he dead set, he can't see without them. Like, he would dead set be legally blind if he didn't
That's
have
why he's Peabody. Those Peabody spectacles. Wears glasses.
No, I know, but I think we've got to go back to Brent Rood, right, because having put them on, mate.
Give the bloke a break.
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, he can't see. So, I mean.
Who cares?
I could see more after 22 schooners than what I could see with Reedy's glasses on.
Because you
know, I could.
Yeah, anyway. We'll get to that. You couldn't. Anyway, that's another story. Go ahead.
My BS is actually on the Parramatta Eels, taking games to Darwin. The poor mob can't win a game up there. The last three games they've been absolutely towed up. They got smoked last on Friday night. Last year they got pumped by the Broncos.
Yeah.
And the year before, the Cowboys absolutely hammered them.
I think they had a bit of success early. And that was maybe why they went, oh, this is great. Yeah, let's keep taking games to Darwin. But you're
mainly.
Right. Three in a row, they've been rinsed.
Yeah, they've actually been nowhere. And you need those 2 points in competition. And then the sides they're playing, they're all the Queensland teams.
Yeah.
So they've got more of a following up there than what Parramatta do.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Yeah, there was a lot of support for
the Dolphins.
Mate,
a couple of years ago when they had played against the Cowboys up there,
yep.
It was more of a Cowboys fan day than it was the Parramatta Eels.
Yeah, look, can we just quickly, I've got a BS, but I want to get to, did anybody see Clint Gutherson mucking around with the kicking tee and in that game? I was going to call BS on time wasting to try and give your forward pack a breather by saying there was something wrong with the kicking tee. And in that moment, Gutho, seriously, he's better than that. They needed more than a breather. They needed to call the game off. Can I just bring up, and I need your support for once. I know your loyalties are with Gordy, and so anything he says, you go that way. And I know that Chicker and this bloke next to me. So, Woodsy, I'd like some support. Ariat are major sponsors of I Call BS, right? Okay? We know that.
Mm.
Well, this week, there has been some skullduggery going on behind the scenes.
Oh,
I get a message from...
It's flying, by the way.
It is flying. Unbelievable podcast. But go and get your own
That's not what you said about it last time you brought it up on this program.
What did I say?
So it's nice that you were complimentary.
What did I say?
I can't recall, well, but it was, quite heavy.
I have it on good authority that a certain member of this team has gone direct to one of our show sponsors, Hustling.
That's all right. What's
wrong with that?
That's an earn.
Well, you've got to go through the powers to be.
You're not the
boss. Who's the powers to be?
Mate, Gordy.
So can you tell our listeners what you're talking about?
You have reached out to Ariat for a meeting.
Yeah, yes. What's wrong with that?
Well, hang on. How's the Raging Bull involved in this?
Oh, just because you just side with superstars and you don't go with Nate normally.
No, I just want... So hang on, because Gordy, he's not here to defend himself.
So it's okay, James Graham has rung Ariat. But it's his podcast.
You just read out this message just here. Who's this from? Peter Inman. Can you just read that message out, please? Just verbatim.
Hey, mate, good to catch up. Be good if you can mention to James to ease up on the meeting request. Punishing.
Thank you, Peter.
Just like you.
There it is there. Now, I'm just going to say this
when's that
now.
Dated?
No,
when's that
was from? This morning, 9:33. I got that text this morning.
This is a stitch up.
Is that everything you wanted me to write?
Sunday is not the day to relax, because Triple M Footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
Rugby league. We love it.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Stand up and applaud.
Gotta love your rugby league.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's PROSPA. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Yeah, welcome back. Triple M Sunday, Simbin, live from Accor Stadium ahead of the Bulldogs taking on the Knights. That kickoff is at 2 o'clock. Dan Ganane will be your caller. Brent Reed on the sideline. Aaron Woods and James Graham in commentary. The Sunday Simbin, all thanks to Prosper, James Graham, James Hooper, Aaron Woods, Ben Dobbin with you as we march down towards the kickoff. And let's talk about Parramatta again, boys. We will get to very shortly talking about the Dragons' big win over the Warriors, and also last night that good win for Manly. Well done, Woodsy.
Thanks, mate.
You know, good to see you here as well. Mitsubishi Toughest player as well turning up. Brad Arthur clearly is under pressure at the moment, but, you know, talking to people inside the walls of Parramatta, we all know that there's still a love and a loyalty, and he's a very, very good coach. But if the South's job is to become available, and if the Parramatta job is to become available at some point this year, which is the better club to go to? Right now, if you had to make a choice on, you know, if Wayne's sitting back in his rocking chair, as you say, sitting out at the farm, contemplating where I'm going to
be baling hay about now.
Yeah.
He would have gone for a run. He'd be baling a bit of hay.
Yeah.
He might sell a few cattle. And, and then he'll sit back in the rocking chair about 4 o'clock when the footy. Oh, and actually, the early game's starting at 2. So
he doesn't drink either,
No drink.
No, tea totally.
Tea.
Although I have heard a few stories from boys over the years when they've won big games, at times they will make him skull one
beer.
He'll have one occasionally.
So which club is the best to go to who's set up for next year?
I personally think Parramatta. You know, you've got a really good forward pack there. The probably only position that Parramatta lack for me is hooker. You know, you've got Lussick there. You know, it's just, and then young Hands comes off the bench. But getting the signing of Lomax coming next year, you know, young Blaise Talangi, you know, Gutherson, Moses, Dylan Brown, good front row pairing in, you know, Campbell Gillard, Paulo. I love what they're doing off of Hengawa. Like, they start off Hengawa, bring Paulo off the bench, opens up the game. I just think there's a lot more upside to Parramatta. You know, South Sydney, you're going to have Cody Walker off contract in end of next year, is
next
it?
Next year, yep. End of next year.
You know, what? How do they handle that situation? He's got a lot of close friendships there in Jack Whiten, Latrell Mitchell, you know, Junior Satola's probably one front rower. Who's the next? They're losing Tommy Burgess. They've got a young fella in David Moali.
He's going to be a gun when he gets
it all
together. Yeah,
but it still takes time.
Yeah, I know.
Whereas
you've
got your Paulos and Campbell Gillards are already hardened to the NRL standard week to week.
Yep.
It's a bit of unknown about South Sydney. You know, they're going through that little bit of a transition period. Joy Arrow, he's got to get shoulder Rico at the end of the year. Will he start the season on time next year? I just think if it's an easy fit, it would be Parramatta for him.
You've convinced me, Woodsy. That's a very compelling argument you've just mounted. And I think if you parachuted Wayne Bennett into Parramatta for next season,
yep,
I've got no question that they can win the comp with Wayne pulling the strings and at the helm. And that's not a knock on Brad Arthur. That's not a criticism, right? He's a damn good coach. But my view is, considering the length of term that he's had there, it's now 11 years. He's the longest serving Parramatta coach. He's starting to get close to some of the other coaches who coached for enormous amounts of time, 300 games plus, and were never able to win grand finals. I know he had them close, but I just get the impression from looking at a couple of the performances, specifically this year, the Raiders game, and then now the match against the Dolphins in Darwin Friday night, that clearly his voice and his messaging at stages of a long season isn't hitting the mark. And I think if you drop Wayne in there tomorrow, my opinion, there's no question Wayne will get results with that roster.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And obviously we're speaking about Wayne Bennett and what he brings to a club. I guess, you know, if you go to a South Sydney, you know they can move things pretty quickly. They're a very powerful club. So Wayne might be looking at it and go, they're one or two additions away, and he knows how much that would mean to the community. He's already got connections there, that familiarity. He knows the place inside and out. He's coached there for a number of years and took them to a grand final. And if he's looking at that roster and goes, well, I can make some improvements there, they're there. And also, South, we might just need to bring these two players in. He's got pulling power. So do the club of South Sydney, where I think at Parramatta, their cap is now full. The acquisition of Lomax, there's no wheeling and dealing to be done in the player market. So one is fixed, one is adaptable, So it depends what he'd want to do. Like, does he want to go in where it's like, okay, this, I've got my top 30 here and there's no wiggle room? Or can he go and want to... And that is then a pure coaching. Does he view that team? You know, we're talking, we think he can, but, you know, there's... Brad Arthur hasn't been able to, who is loved by the players. I think there's more room for growth in Souths, and maybe Wayne would be more attractive to him.
You raised some great points, Jimmy. And the other thing is, he knows what it looks like on the inside of Souths because he's been there before. He's taken them to the grand final. So he has a great understanding of how it all works at Heffron Park. With Parramatta, I think part of the appeal for Wayne would be that they're currently the longest club in the NRL in a title drought. You have to go all the way back to 1986 when John Maney coached him to that competition. I think also the fact that Jack Gibson, Wayne loves his history and certainly loves his rugby league history. I think also the fact that Jack Gibson was the first coach, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, who ended their title drought back in the early 80s. I think that would also have huge appeal for him. So, yeah, look, there's going to be a lot to play out. Just on Brad Arthur, look, he enjoys enormous support from the top end of the club.
Sure.
My only issue with that is the club's run by ex-bankers. So I'm not sure that they have got... They've got Mark O'Neill in there, who's a damn good operator. He's the GM of footy. But I don't know whether Buckets is given enough say and enough sway to make the really big decisions. And I don't know whether the blokes at the top end, right, are making the right calls.
Well, either way...
That goes recruitment, that goes everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to play out. James Fisher-Harris, obviously huge announcement during the week. He's going back to New Zealand. He spoke to Lara Pitt after that win yesterday. He scored a great try, but it was interesting. Very understated, this chat. Here it is.
A bit emotional, obviously. Been here for 10 years now, since I was a kid. And then the village has sort of raised me, West Sydney, Penrith. But still got a long season ahead, so it's early days now. But, never know. Might not come back out here again, so I'm just making the most of it.
Yeah, he certainly did. And when he announced it this week, Moses Leota said one more time, and it just felt like, hang on, what a Penrith playing. Everybody's going, oh, they're playing for four in a row, and, oh, wouldn't it be nice to see him? Now they've got something. Now they're like, okay, this bloke who's been so important to the fabric and the makeup, they talk about just what he's done for that club. Now they have got something to play for that four in a row.
It's not just him. It's Jerome Luai as well, Dobbo.
Yeah,
you know, there's two of the mainstays in that three-peat so far. Just when you don't want to give him any ammunition fire up for a four-peat, he comes out and says he's going to Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, Moses Leota comes out and says one last try.
Yeah,
this is just what we need.
Yeah. What everybody was dreading.
What a player, you know, what he's done for that club. And just the respect the club's shown him and the respect he's shown the club in, you know, being able to get that early release. Obviously, I don't know the reasons why he wants to go back home, but I've heard a couple. But it's just so good that the club respects him to let him do that. They didn't want to get a player in return. You know, not many of the clubs would have done that. And this is a club that's won three competitions in a row. It shows you it must be doing something right out there. And then I actually heard Nathan Cleary here speak on the coverage of Fox beforehand. And just the way he spoke about Fisher-Harris, like he goes, I would not be here. We would not have three competitions without a bloke like James Fisher-Harris. He sets the standard. You know, there's so many stories about Nathan Cleary, about how he's, you know, first one on the field, he's always the last one out. But then when they go into the gym, James Fisher-Harris, first one in, and he's always the last one out. Like, he is an absolute professional. He drives the standards, not just on the field, but in the gym. He pushes young blokes. Young blokes want to be like him. So, you know, congratulations on a great career, Penrith. And, you know, hopefully you don't win the competition, but, you know, you deserve everything that's coming your way, James.
Yeah, he's a very, very good footballer at that. I will just say, and we've got to get to a break quickly, but your interview last night with Cameron Smith on Fox the Golfer was outstanding.
Don't butterbox me.
You were very, very good last night.
This is what you do.
For a change, you actually were very, very good. This is the Sunday Sinbin from Accor Stadium. We're going to take a break, come back. Plenty more to get through as we rock the footy. All thanks to Triple M and Prosper.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's P-R-O-S-P-A. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin, all thanks to Prosper. James Graham, Aaron Woods, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. Kickoff not far away will be Canterbury taking on Newcastle from Accor Stadium. Dan Ganane will be your caller. We will have the other game, Cronulla and the Cowboys. You can hear that on Listener this evening as well. The local call up there, Wayne Chiesa, one of the greats from the Cowboys call team. He'll be calling that as well.
But Wayne or Wade?
Wade Chiesa.
Yeah, Wade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what, Elliot Lovejoy.
Oh, yeah. Elliot Lovejoy,
what,
the
yeah.
voice.
What are you? People. What are you on today? Seriously? No. Yeah, I mean, no, did you have a dusty said, night last night
called,
after I dropped you off at a hotel?
You just called Wade Chiesa Wayne.
Oh, sorry,
that's all.
Wade Chiesa.
So
I know him very well.
Name right.
Now, yeah. Can I just ask you,
yeah.
you no, did you, after I dropped you off at a very reasonable hour last night at Hotel X,
yeah.
and you were like a barfly looking around, is there anything open, did you go out or did you just go home?
Is that Hotel X at Fortitude Valley?
Yes. Yeah, 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 that's where, and he's like, I wonder if there's
got a nightclub on the roof.
Yeah, there
that's where one person was caught nude walking around the
Who would
hallways.
That have been? Who would that have been?
Oh, is that a member of the Triple M team?
Yeah.
Wasn't a member of the on-air team.
No, it was.
Executive producer.
Was he lost or just tired and emotional?
He got isolated, he thinks.
Let's just say he had a great night before him.
Listen, we're not talking stories out of school. Let's talk about the Dragons win down in the Gong on Friday night against the Warriors. It was, to me, I hope she covered this game. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I've seen improvement from St. George, but it was a really good – Shane Flanagan's done a phenomenal job in just a really simple game plan. Let's get to it. And they showed that, you know, if they stick to it, they can have some real upsets this year.
Yeah, it was an impressive win from the Dragons at home, Wynn Stadium. They're starting to generate a little bit of atmosphere there. Obviously, they beat the Manly Seagulls last time they were down there. But, you know, Tommy Dorojevic had a – well –
you know,
an off night, let's shall we put it that way. But you know, the way the Dragons weathered that early storm, it looked as if the Warriors missed some opportunities, but the Dragons they just held on in there. Zach Lomax again was outstanding. I thought Kyle Flanagan had a really good game. Like obviously Ben Hunt pulls all the strings. They're a very experienced side, so yeah, I thought Flanagan's just playing to his team's strength. He's come in, he's brought some systems in place, he's got people believing in themselves and the system and the team behind the club, and he's done a fantastic job there so far.
How good is Zachy Lomax going? Like, honestly, it's been the form outside back. I know he played centre the other night, but this form on the wing, it's been absolutely, like...
It makes you shake your head why they've let him go. Like, I know he's on big money, and you can't pay 850 large for a winger, but it does make it, when he's in the form that he's in, and clearly, like, Flano's lit a fire underneath him. They've had some direct conversations over the summer. I don't think Zach Lomax particularly liked some of them, especially when Flano got the list of the best centres in the game out, and Lomax was well into the bottom half of them and said, this is where you rank, I've crunched the numbers. And I don't think that sat well with him, but what it's done is, and because Flano's been around, won comps, he knows how to get the best out of different personality types. He's got every single player in that side is playing above where they were last year.
I agree with that.
I think on Lomax as well, like Warriors would have got a bake from Webster at halftime about going out there and getting back into the game. And in the first set of the second half, Zach Lomax, I think, buried the Warriors with that effort play.
Yep.
And you know what? It's amazing that more players don't do it. Like
he was never not catching that ball.
He goes so hard.
He should be having a contagion effect where centre should look at the game or outside backs and just go, I'm just going to compete on kicks. It's huge.
Yeah.
And if you don't catch the ball, well, you stop the fullback. You take away the fullback or the winger's ability to charge back into the defensive line just by putting some effort in. It's been great to see. And that take was... You know, you watch it on TV and you're like, oh, fair try. Go and practice that. Try and do it. Sprint as fast as you can for 35 metres and then pluck the ball.
Only had eyes for the ball the entire time.
I feel that, and I know he signed with Parramatta, but and when he started this year, he was out of love with Shane Flanagan and he didn't like it. And if you don't know what you don't know, but I just wonder in 6 months' time,
Big time.
You know, if there is going to be a little bit
mate,
of that,
I'd be having buyer's remorse.
You know, like, the buyer's remorse
be having
going.
Buyers, after what Parramatta dished up after the Dragons had a spirited victory in one of their spiritual homes, Wollongong, and then you watch Para.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I'm going, that, you know what, actually.
Especially when you hear the coach's words after the game.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Part-time football, that's not what you want to hear.
But I'm thinking to myself, Flanagan's going to get some players coming to this club. There's going to be players that are now saying, hang on, hang on. We want to be a part of this in the next couple of years. So, and even Sloan, I mean, it's so maligned in the last couple of years. And then just the way that he backed himself. Now, the attempt of a tackle on him was poor. They went high on him. But he backed himself. And I'm just like, that's the confidence that he's giving.
He wouldn't have done that 12 months ago.
Never.
Not under Hook. He was a shadow of the player he is now, and that's what Flano does. Like you said it before, he knows how to work the different personalities in the room. You know, he comes in with Zach and says, this is a list of things, players that are better here, they're doing this in this certain area. And like you said, Hoops, it's lit a fire, but he's not just like that for Zach. He's done it for every other player, and he knows the ways to do it with other players. Like, Frank Molo is playing the best footy I think I've seen.
Unbelievable.
To today. Look at Jaden Sewer.
Jack Bellin.
Sewer's back, mate. Talking about Origin
exactly
again. And
right.
So, yeah. Sewer's a...
Yeah, but even just
he always has been.
Yes.
Oh, he's a freak athlete, but it's just getting it between the years, and that's what Shane's done down there. But the other one is Ben Hunt. He actually now wants to stay and extend his time down there. Like 12 months ago, he was trying to go to the Titans and, or
six
Brisbane
months
and
ago,
Titans.
Mate. Christmas time. Yeah. He was still filthy that he couldn't get out of the contract.
But you know what? From that game, the Warriors they got that early try, but they didn't look like that. The cohesion and attack was there. The defense of the Dragons rattled them. I think they had about four or five sets in a row. They had three repeats, six agains on the try line, and the Dragons turned away. They didn't even look like a threat.
Just on the Warriors, I know a lot of people are talking about where they're going and this trajectory that they're on, and the news is signing Fisher Harris. But this season, they just haven't been able to put teams away. Like they've
Sharks.
Had blocks of possession. The Sharks game in particular, even some of
they'll
the victories,
regret that Cronulla game. They had that
like
bad.
They should like. They should have piled way more points on them than what they did. Like the block of possession against Dragons on the weekend, they should have been two or three scores up from that. You know, even like the Canberra win and the Newcastle win, like they had opportunities and really should have put those games away. And it's an area of concern for the Warriors.
Can I just say one thing about one of the Warriors players? Charles Nicoll-Cookstag. He had 32 carries against us, Manly, last week, and he had 27 again on Friday night.
Wow. He's a machine. But I thought the rest, some of their other back five members, they normally get a lot out of their back five. I thought there was a couple of them who were a bit quiet.
Yeah. Look, it was a good win anyway. Can we talk about your game, Titans? And
the attack fest.
It was... Mate, the Gold Coast is the glitter strip,
well,
and they turned
what?
It on. I mean, you were expecting this.
And speaking of, at all week, like, this is a real nervous game. Like, I think we're a lot more, like, prepared for this game than we were for Penrith a couple of weeks ago. Like, they're due for a win. You know, Desi comes out. He gives the refs a bit of a gobfall after the game. You know they're going to get the 50-50 calls. You're going back to Gold Coast. Like, that'd be hurting after that, you know, the Golden Point loss against Canberra last week. And the one thing that the Titans are doing really well at the moment, the ruck. They're slowing the ruck down really well, and they're getting away with a lot of it now.
We heard Ricky talk about that.
But honestly, like they're doing a really good job, and you can sort of see Dez's imprints are slowly, you know, they're slowly getting there. Not happening straight away, but you can tell the middle forwards are slowly buying into what Dez wants to do from them. And having AJ Brimson at fullback, I thought he was a really big threat all night. You know, he's just sort of... puts himself behind the ruck and he can sort of count where the numbers are. He can swing late and just creates an extra number. He just gets out of, you know, he can count the numbers on the short sides and where the numbers are and where the short, you know, the four men's, if he's wide or if he's in tight. I think they're slowly building and they're not as bad as everyone thinks. I know they haven't got a win on the board yet, but they're very close to getting a win.
Well, they are improving, but there's halves depth. That's the issue.
Yes.
We read in the paper today
that they chased Jonah Pezzett.
That's a good move.
That hasn't happened. Yeah. Right? There was a tip going around this week that they were somehow trying to that they discussed making a play to try and get Jerome Hughes out of Melbourne for next year. He obviously started his career up on the Gold Coast, but everybody shot it down. Yeah. Everybody said, no, definitely not.
Brody Croft?
He's contracted.
There's no way the Storm are going to let him go.
I don't know. Brody Croft's going to come back, would he? Like, you know, I mean...
Well, didn't he sign five
years? But he has. NRL, basically, every year there's a clause.
Oh. Yeah. Well, either way, they are going to go to the market.
I don't understand those contracts.
No, mate.
It's stupid.
Any clause, like, it just should be... I don't understand them.
He's signed till 2030, but right. there is loopholes in loopholes. Quickly,
so he's on the same deal as you're on here at Triple M.
Anyway, I won't talk
under review every year.
And you're not allowed to hammer him.
You're not on your own. I'm not on my own, mate, big fella.
I've been here 20 years.
Likewise. Yeah,
oh, likewise.
Oh,
he's got a backup.
In a full-time capacity, mate, not a little part-time Sunday gig.
The backwater afternoon show in Queensland doesn't count.
I can tell you right now, you want to be very careful because there is some mid-season reviews happening and you are under the microscope. Quickly, are the Roosters in danger if they don't start winning? And I understand the season gets broken up into three parts. You know, first, the origin, then the run home.
Yep.
But there is some concern. They are playing a great style of football. They're in everything.
They are, yeah.
But is there a concern that if they don't start to put some points on and start banking some wins, that they're going to be in danger and scrapping again like they were late in the season, trying to slide into this eight?
Yeah, I reckon there is, because you don't want to leave it too late. And they just stuck in last year. You know, for me, it feels like they're already under the pump. You know, as a fan and, you know, commentated a few games for Triple M here, watching Trent Robertson in the box, this is as emotional I've ever seen him.
Animated. Unbelievable.
Mate, normally he's just cool, calm, collected. You know, when decisions go against him, he had a massive blow-up the other night. But they also got three good calls their way, which were 50-50 as well.
We've talked about that earlier in that bunker check. That was a putrid call.
It was a putrid call, but... they got a couple of calls as well their way. It's not just as if they're getting no calls at all, Tobbo.
Yeah, true.
So, and then if, you know, I'm not a lip reader, but some of the things that I've heard or I looked at and watched what Trent Robinson said in the box, Jesus.
A couple of weeks ago, you talked about.
A couple of weeks ago when we commentated the game against Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I think he wasn't happy with one of the referee's decisions.
I don't know who he was talking to, but yes, I do know what you're talking about.
But it
about.
Just shows me that they're under the pump because you never see Robbo like this. And you know the other thing? When do the best players in their team leave? Joey Munna's gone. Suwali's going.
Yeah. Oh, JWH is going. Yeah.
But he's in the back end of his career.
Yeah. Jared.
Yeah, but they're losing a lot of players. Crichton, there's a question mark where he's going to be. I'm not saying there's a lot of cattle, a big turnover. You know, Daniel Tupou's finishing up this year. Like, there's a lot.
Not necessarily. I don't think he's finished up this year. No.
Look, I think watching the Roosters level.
He's off contract at the end of this year. They haven't re-signed him.
Yeah.
Well, he's not finishing up yet.
I think watching the Roosters' level of performance minus the first 40 minutes against the Bulldogs is better than what they've been last year. But they're not getting reward for some of their... They'll rue that game against the Bulldogs, especially the first 40 minutes. They've faced some tough teams. Look, I think they're a bit of a work in progress.
Are they a heavyweight, Jimmy? Are they still one of the genuine premiership contenders?
Well, yes, they are because of their players that they've got, the champions within them, the coaching staff, the infrastructure. Yes, they still are. But you know what? I think that they need some wins. They really do. I think Brandon Smith is playing really well.
He's playing outstanding.
Radley's
been really good. I think, you know, when they get Spencer Lenu back, that will add a lot up front for them.
Yeah.
So the combinations of him, Collins, May, and JWH and White as well, that's a lot of punch through the middle of the field, and then
it's going to create opportunities for Teddy.
Yeah. Their halves in obviously it was Walker didn't play. I think that they need to probably contribute a little bit more.
The halves,
and Keary and Walker are really good, but then they probably need to give a little bit more.
They haven't got a good kicker either. Like, they haven't got a long kicking to get the ball, get themselves out of trouble.
Well, if you've got those big middle forwards and everybody's firing Lenu, you don't need to stress too much about the ability to kick long.
It sort of takes the 40-20 out of play.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, come back. Mitsubishi toughest player up next. This is the Sunday Sinbin, live from Accor Stadium, ahead of the Knights taking on Canterbury. We'll take a break and come back with more.
Shut up, the footy's on Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Need funds for your business? Visit prosper.com today. That's P-R-O-S-P-A. T's and C's and standard credit criteria apply.
Welcome back to Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. James Graham, Aaron Woods, James Hooper, Ben Dobbin with you. All thanks to Prosper. Passion takes you far in business, but funding takes you further. Visit prosper.com. That's P-R-O-S-P-A. T's and C's and the standard credit criteria apply. Not far away from kickoff, Canterbury taking on Newcastle. Dan Ganane will be your call for that. We'll have Brent Reed on the sideline, Aaron Woods and James Graham. It's now time for the Mitsubishi Triton's toughest player. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton, the new gen Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. James Graham, your toughest player for round seven.
Yeah, well, look, it's been a very difficult task to come up with another Mitsubishi Triton toughest player because there's been, you know, plenty of solid efforts. I want to give a shout out to Chevy Stewart. Like, I know he didn't have the best of games.
Yeah.
But for a kid to be having a bit of a difficult time, that the one thing you can do is you can make things better or make things worse.
Yeah.
And when he got that ball and he just pelted back into the line,
yeah,
like, that's toughness, but he doesn't get my toughest player. It goes to the Dolphins fullback.
Yeah.
Coming out of the top 30, Trey Fuller. Like, a Queensland Cup player to come up with that level of performance in Darwin, in the heat. You know, nobody give the Dolphins a chance. And considering his situation, like, he's in the market now. Surely teams will be looking at him. He's on, obviously, outside the top 30. I think he'll get a top 30 spot at the Dolphins. He was sensational
on
the weekend.
I spoke to Wayne about him yesterday, off the back of his performance. You're so right. And Wayne said, I just love him. But Ben Teo's been talking about this kid for the last 2 years, saying he's been playing with him at Redcliffe in the Q Cup when they got him. He just said, mate, he puts his head in places no one else would. And he took that Queensland Cup form, James Graham, straight into a game where, by all rights, he should have been nervous, but it just wasn't there.
Or you ease yourself in, or you just, you know, you can... The game can pass you by, and away you go. But you know, Wayne Bennett before the game was asked, like, "What's Trey Fuller like? What can we expect?" We'd seen him play one game last year, but you know, the easy answer would be he's good on his feet. Mm. You know, he's a great attacking player. Wayne Bennett answered it with one word: said he's tough.
Great example. He's a great example, Trey Fuller, of just never give up.
Yeah.
Never give up on maybe one day getting your shot.
27.
Be ready. Yeah, be ready whenever the day might come. He's grabbed the opportunity. He'll now get a number off the back of that. But just going back to young Chevy Stewart, Jimmy, you're spot on. Like, the aerial bombardment that they put him under in the wet was so out of control in the opening half. It would have rattled any seasoned fullback. And for him to bounce back the way that he did, I thought it showed a lot of character. And he's got a big future in the game. And they both have, both his players.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Can I just go back to your toughest player in Trey Fuller? I think the Dolphins, they've always got those spots there. They have to shore up, because the Hammer, you know, they're light on depth in those outside backs. Now, I understand, you know, and we talked about it earlier in the show, like Parramatta's performance, but if they haven't got Herbie Farmworth for another 8 weeks, they get an injury with Tessie New. If the Hammer comes back, we know he plays in the centres at origin level.
Yeah.
You've got then the option of playing Trey Fuller at fullback and then bringing the Hammer in there. And you, Woodsy, you then patch up these depth problems that have been lurking over the Dolphins. I understand they beat Parramatta easily, and we've unpacked that earlier, but I just think that they need to make sure, and I think you'll see this week, them upgrade his contract and obviously see him.
Well, you have to. Yep. The way he played the other night, he showed you that he's a first grader. Like, he's not just there to get the jersey. He's there. He's creating a number. He was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, and he was playing with one of my mates a couple of years ago, local league at Newcastle.
Wow. Like,
that shows you, that's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He's playing for, I think it was West Newcastle. Now he's come so far. For me, it's just, I know Jimmy said he was tough, but it's the way he attacked the ball in those conditions as well. Mm. There was a couple of times where the Parramatta kick chase was coming right at him, and he just went that hard. And it's one of those ones, if he probably was one step back, he probably misses it on the bounce, but he got it on the volley straight away, and there's just no fear. But like you said, with Hemmer coming back, it does create a little bit more in the depth now, so you're not too worried. But when you do lose the players like Farnworth to their, you know, how good they are in the game, you're going to lose something. But to show now, this is where they were last year. They start off the season so well, but then they got a couple injuries, they got a couple suspensions, and that's where they lack. So these young kids are getting some time now, and they're proving that, you know, they're worth it now. So it's a really good sign for the Dolphins, and we knew it was going to take them a couple of years. We knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. But, you know, and then to do it when Wayne Bennett wasn't there as well, Dobbo. So it was a really good sign, because he's obviously moving on at the end of this year. So Christian Wolf's going to be taking that side. And to see the players, you know, step up in, not just the players, but Christian Wolf to step up in Wayne Bennett's absence, it's a big lift for the Dolphins.
It was a good win.
It's huge. Well, I think for most people, if you looked at the decimated squad of the Dolphins, you would have thought, okay, well, you put Averillo at fullback. Yeah, you maybe move you and Aitken from back row.
You got Valance sitting there, Valance Tafare sitting there as well.
So you put Tafare in at the centres, Averillo to fullback. Away we go. That's what you go. You go with that experience, right? So but obviously this inexperienced gun player who's playing in the Q Corp has.
He's done well.
Well, they had to get a special clearance.
Yeah, they did.
He was outside the top 30.
So he's not even development player hoops.
No.
He was way out wide. Just on Wayne, you've spoken to him?
Yeah, I spoke to him.
Is he all right, the super coach?
He's all right. He's recovered. I asked him how he watched the game. I said to him, how'd you watch the game? He said, at the farm, just me and the TV. I said, did you listen to the commentary? Because I wanted to see. He said, nope. I won't be listening to that. He just watched it on his own, turned his phone off the whole game.
In silence.
Watch it. Which, it's just like, I think this is like his commentary box normally. Anyway, we've got to get and preview this game that's just about to get underway.
I was just going
to
say, I did the same last night when you were calling
really?
The game for the Broncos. on the radio last night, I just listened in silence.
That's good. Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
It was a better experience.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Todd Carney had some good insight, though.
Yeah, he was very good. Listen, I mean, this is what I deal with week in, week out. But
I don't.
It's all okay. Can we just please?
Made you get thicker skin, mate. It's all good.
I've got enough thick skin. There was no need to lead in like that. That was just a cheap and nasty shot.
I am sitting in Gordy's chair.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're a much better bloke than Gordy. Sunday Sinbin on Triple S. Let's quickly preview this one. Knights taking on the Dogs. So important for both sides. We've seen this form from the Bulldogs improve. We know that Jack Cogger was in the New South Wales Cup team, so Tyson Gamble is going to be that half, and so they've come back with that. It feels like Adam O'Brien just hasn't worked out what this halves combination looks like for them yet. We know that Jackson Hastings back in the side has been much improved, but he was left out at the beginning and all that. Where are they at today, Hoops? Where do you think this game's going to lead to?
Well, I think the fact that he's changed his halves combination again, that must be the fourth time, I think, this season. Hastings has been dropped, Cogger's been dropped, and Gamble, who's going to play today now, has also been dropped as well. So I think all that chopping and changing in key positions shows where Newcastle are at, that they're desperate to win. Because if they lose today, they're 2-5 to start the season. And all of a sudden then you do really start looking at the ladder and looking at the draw and worrying about whether you can make September or not.
But for me, like, the chopping and changing, it creates panic in the players. Like, every time, if they make an error, their head's going to go straight down and think, geez, I'm going back to reserve grade next week. It's like he's got no faith in his halves at the moment. Because as you said, I think it's about 4 or 5 changes he made in the halves in the first 6-7 rounds.
Yeah, spot on, Woodsy. Jimmy, what's your view on the Knights and where they're at the moment?
Well, if you think about it, you know, we hear teams will use that as an excuse. Oh, we've had 10 different spine combinations for this year. No wonder we can't get. That's our reason for going on a losing run. When
you know, a lot of those are often because of injury.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's my point. It's usually, you know, it's the consequence of unfortunate injuries or suspension or whatever it may be. The Knights are doing this to themselves. And for me, I think, you know, for such key positions, I'd like to think O'Brien would know who his best are, like who are his best 6 and 7, and pick that and back it. And it seems very reactionary. Like, if he doesn't know, then certainly the players don't know. I don't know if it's a challenge to say, like, this as a player, I'd be going, this is there for the taking. If I was like, there was a starting front rows opportunity, a job, I'd be like, I'm going to go after this. But with the halves, it's,
I don't know if one of the if those players have that attitude, or they need that, they're at a position where they need that support. But I'd like to see O'Brien's go, you're my seven, you're my six, let's go. And if we don't get a result this weekend, we're just going to work on it. Because I think for all the players around them as well, the impact of not having that consistent 5'8 halfback, it impacts everybody.
Well, you can't build combinations. No. You can't build fluency. Surely the senior players, so Kalyn Ponga is obviously the captain of the side, he'd be being consulted about all of this.
He'd have to be. He'd have to be, because he's the link man for those the spine players. And I think Jimmy said it right. It's the combination. It's not just attacking. It's defensively. Some edges like to get up and jam real hard. You know, some get up and then pull back, the old Cooper Cronk style. You got to know, and you got to have rhythm with your, you know, with your defensive systems. It's not just attacking, and that's like the chopping and change. I don't understand. And you know, I think Hastings was gone after 2 weeks. Like you'd at least give him a month of footy, wouldn't you? You've had the whole preseason, 4 or 5 months to work on what you've got to do, and to just be so reactionary so early in the season, for me it's just like he's got no faith in his spine.
You should know your best half side.
That's it.
Yeah, you really should know.
Well, you work that out in the preseason, don't you? In a lot of the way. And I mean, it might take one or two games, but you've seen enough during the off season in your semi opposed and all that to get those
sometimes.
Or you put the challenge to the players in the start of the preseason, going, either you probably have a quiet word with Hastings, Cogger, Gamble, and say, this is to be determined. I'm going to be watching how you train, but I need to make a call around February 1. But then you speak to people at the Knights, and after two games, they moved Hastings on, but they were like, oh no, we included the trial form in that, so that's the month. It's like, come on.
Well, Jimmy, I've got an example for you. Drew Hutchinson, the side they're versing against today, he's copped a lot of flack, but Cameron Serrato's come out and said, mate, you are my halfback, and I'm sticking with you. He's had all the faith in the world, and he goes out and plays well.
You've seen the combinations get better and better week in, week in.
And they're building. They weren't starting off on fire straight away, but they're slowly each week they're progressing and they're getting better.
How much pressure is Adam O'Brien? I know he re-signed an extension, Hoops, but we know how fickle this coaching game is, and I'm calling that knock on him. But I mean, 5-2. I mean, I know they had this big run last year, but it ain't to me.
You can't just
Newcastle
say
look like a one man band. If Ponga doesn't fire, they ain't got a shot. Now I'm not.
Well, they weren't a one man band when they went on a 10-game winning run last week and finished up
last year. Well, there was a fullback involved in there.
Yeah,
Kalyn Ponga.
He got the LEM.
So,
but they weren't a one man band.
He's the link.
Winning the LEM.
Let's see if he's not in the side. How well they go. And history will show statistically.
So you're sacking Adam O'Brien now?
No, I'm not sacking him at all. I'm just saying.
You've just ripped his heart out.
Mate, Adam O'Brien, he's got a lot thicker skin than me. That's being honest. Anyway, who do we like in this one?
I'm leaning towards the Bulldogs.
I come here thinking Newcastle, but now I think Bulldogs.
Of course. It's the ultimate Bulldog.
Hey, listen, who do you think of it?
I think the Dogs. I'm a Dog supporter, mate. Don't you know that?
Oh, you're all
I thought you were Broncos.
Jerry Lamb. Jerry Lamb is the man.
Mate, he's Broncos, Dolphins, Cowboys. Titans. No, he declares he doesn't like the Gold Coast.
Listen here, mate.
And Bulldogs.
Can you like that? Fold. You're frothing still, mate. The biggest.
He even reminded me.
Jim Fest I've ever seen. Mate, and last night he's out there in the rain. He's there in the rain last night. I'm up and sun come. Reezy Wogs. Oh, mate. He just was sickening. Anyway.
Mate, leave the jokes to the comedian.
Yeah, listen. Right. Well, you are a clown. You are a clown. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Come back. Have a great Sunday. We've really enjoyed that with you. Dan Ganay to call this game. Not far away.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.